International rugby is back. Scotland will host world champions South Africa, Southern Hemisphere heavyweight Australia, Pacific Islanders Tonga, and the exciting Japan at BT Murrayfield this October and November. Adult tickets start from just £16 and kids can come for a quid. For more information on the Autumn Nation series and to secure your tickets for the return of international rugby to BT Murrayfield, check out scottishrugby.org. We can't wait to welcome you back. Hello once again and welcome to the official Scottish Rugby podcast. Rachel and I this week going to entertain you with the help of Blair Kinghorn and Ali Price, the Scottish halfback combination for the weekend. So we'll get their thoughts on how the training camp's going, what to expect from the game against Tonga at the weekend. We'll look forward to that. Hello again and welcome to the official Scottish Rugby podcast. Rachel and I are here this week. We're going to be joined in a few moments or 10 minutes or so by members of the Scotland side that will play Tonga this weekend. Ali Price and Blair Kinghorn, the halfback combination, are going to be with us at some point, hopefully together, as we look ahead to the game. And I think that's it, the main focus, Rach, isn't it? Looking ahead to the first of the four Autumn Nation Series games, Scotland-Tonga back at BT Murrayfield with a crowd. There's a lot to dissect. There's a lot to go through. There's some new faces, some returning faces, but the first place to start is how good is it going to be being back in front of the fans at BT Murrayfield on Saturday?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's probably the biggest bit, the anticipation and the wait for the fans and the players as well to have fans there has been so long. And I know, having heard from a couple of boys, and I'm sure Blair and Ali will reiterate it, just how excited they are to have fans back in BT Murrayfield. And I'm sure the fans feel very similar.
It's funny, eh? Because we spoke, well, a year and a half ago about how to deal without having fans in the stadium. And now the kind of mindset is almost roles reverse. I know they've been back for clubs and the games we've been playing, but I think probably nerves isn't the right idea. It's just excitement levels, I think, that will raise, and getting that instant kind of reaction from the noise or the wall of noise when you run out, and then a positive or a negative in the game or supporting the game. I think it will take a wee bit of getting used to again, but all in a positive sense, of course.
Yeah, definitely. I think the first 5-10 minutes you might see a little bit more. I guess some of the guys have had a fair bit of experience at club this last wee while, to be fair, but I think a full BT Murrayfield is a slightly different different feeling. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a little bit of nerves from some of the boys at the start of the game. But I think, like you say, like those periods where you're maybe going through a little bit of a lull and you know, peaks and troughs within a game, and like you say, a turnover or a break, and the crowd all getting behind Scotland will be a massive boost for them and just kind of bring that energy that they've maybe lacked a little bit without fans there.
Will you make it up for the game? Are you going to make it up?
We are actually playing this weekend the Allianz Cup. So I'm facing a number of my Scottish friends at Sale on Saturday. So no, I'll not make it up, but I'll definitely be watching.
I catch them. We'll see how we go. Well, good luck with that as well. And I say teams announced already, so we can go through it. As I say, we'll hear from Blair and Ali and get their thoughts on what the mood in the camp and the excitement levels we're talking about. But an exciting side picked by Gregor Townsend. Some new faces, four new caps in the starting lineup, potential four new caps on the bench, some experience returning. So it's I suppose a lot to talk about, a lot to digest. But what's your initial views, Rach? What's what jumps out at you in the from the team selection?
I think it's a really exciting team. I think it's quite a balanced team in terms of power, but also kind of dynamic and speed, as we know Gregor likes to play fast and move the ball. So I think the likes of bringing Pierre Schumann into to the front row brings a bit of that power and strength. And that is, I think, a really strong front row. George Turner last season was outstanding for club and for country. And I think very well-deserved start. Obviously, disappointing for Fraser Brown to miss out with an injury again. But as I say, George Turner's in really good form. And Xander, returning British and Irish Lions. So adding just that incredible experience to the front row. So I think that front row brings a huge amount of power, but you balance that with a back row with just a ton of energy, a ton of skill, and a pretty kind of balanced back row again with Matt Fagerson coming back in, bringing that big ball carrying number eight, really physical. Obviously been on the sidelines for quite a while as well, so I'm sure he's absolutely chomping at the bit to get back. But again, returning line at seven with Hamish Watson, super exciting. And I think the halfback partnership will be an interesting one. You touched on it at the start.
We'll find out.
we'll hear a bit from them. But I think both, obviously Ali, we know, again, another returning line, so really exciting. But he's always looking to play quickly, and he was outstanding out in South Africa. So to bring that experience back to Scotland and partner up with Blair for, I think, the first time in the Scotland shirt, could be wrong. So that'll be exciting to see, and see Blair obviously go at 10 as well, and how that goes. And I think Rufus McLean and Sione coming in for first caps in that back line, both have been absolutely outstanding for Glasgow this season. So to see them, I think, deservedly get the nod in the starting lineups, very well deserved, but I'm excited to see how they go and what they can bring.
Yeah, some excitement there. There's some, you know, pace and power, and as you say, form as well. The way, you know, a lot of these players, not just playing the start of this season, but the form from the, you know, the end of last season carrying through and picking up right at the start of this season. It is exciting. What do you think the goals for the game will be for Scotland? Obviously, it's the first of four consecutive weekends. We've got games, missed a block of international rugby in the summer due to the cancellations of the game. So haven't played since that kind of historic win in Paris at the end of March. So what's the primary focus for the team, do you think, this weekend as a kickoff of the Autumn Nation series?
I think it's probably to establish some kind of partnerships within that team. I think it's the risk sometimes when you've got a squad that've come together, not played a huge amount, potentially not trained that much together, that it can be a little bit frantic. It's sometimes can be exciting to watch, but potentially not the most organised performance. So I think they'll be looking to, you know, be disciplined in playing their shape and attack and defence, and kind of get used to some new partnerships, which we can see in the starting lineup, but also with some of the new caps coming off the bench as well. So I think a win is ultimately going to be the goal. I think against Tonga, we've got a very good opportunity to go out and put in a good performance, but also get the win. But I think performance-wise, it will be to kind of solidify those new partnerships and try to start to integrate shape and how Scotland want to play going forward into some big matches.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the new caps, Jamie Hodgson as well, getting his first start in the second. Yep. I think he'll be probably called, so heavily involved in the line-outs and calling line-outs as well. And he's had another one who's on form and deserved the, you know, tail end of last season and the start of this season, similar to Rufus and Sione as well. And Pierce Heumann's been, you know, form for a long time. So it's a massive day for those four. But as you say, rewarded with the form, and they'll be looking to the experienced players either side of them and in and around them, and no more so than the three returning lines. Darcy at fullback as well. And it's really exciting, really exciting. He'll have a, you know, another one or two responsibilities added when you play fullback rather than the wing. But you've got Kyle Steyn, who has one cap, so it's his first start, and Rufus, who's uncapped in the other wing. So part of Darcy's role there will be, you know, that communication, that organisation. But he'll be exciting to see in the 15, as he always is, but in the 15 jersey, running back kicks and counter-attacking, won't he?
Yeah, no, I think he'll have a bit of a field day with a little bit more space to play with, hopefully, in terms of his running game, but also, yeah, kicking as well. So I think I'm excited to see him go there, and an exciting back three as well. I'm a big fan of Kyle's. I don't think he's had enough ball from Glasgow in terms of the last few games, and he's not maybe had the opportunity to show what he can do, but on his day, he's a really exciting player to watch as well. So I think a lot of kind of diversity across that back three, and yeah, exciting to watch.
Kyle's so good; he can cover everywhere. I mean, he starts in the centre, he starts in the wing. He can play fullback. He's a powerful lad. He's good in the air. He's just especially when you go for a 6-2 bench split.
Yeah,
Sunday Kyle becomes really important in terms of covering your options off the bench. So I'm delighted for him as well. And Blair at 10. Obviously seen with Edinburgh, and he played as a 10 all the way through his kind of age grade career and his school career. But he'll be looking to bring that tempo, that speed, that distribution to the game as well. And I suppose, like we were saying about the four new caps, it is a first start for him at 10, so he'll rely on Sammy outside him and Ali inside him for bits of experience as well. But it's another hint at how exciting and how potentially how attack-minded the team can be.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I think, obviously, first start at 10, but he's got a huge number of caps behind him now after not even being on the scene for that many years. So I think he'll bring that experience as well and use the likes of Sam, like you say, outside him. But I think it's, in terms of the backline in particular, a really fast, dynamic kind of backline in terms of what they're going to take into Tonga, which obviously we know Tonga usually bring a pretty physical side. So if we can move the ball and try and go around them and whatever else and get them moving, I think that'll be beneficial for how Scotland want to play. But in terms of looking at Tonga, you said you recognised a few familiar names there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you're right though. I mean, it's funny. I mean, Tonga's preparations, like everybody's to a certain extent over the last couple of years, has been disrupted. They've not played a huge amount of internationals since the World Cup in 2019. And their player availability is a bit curtailed with COVID restrictions and with travel. The coaches, obviously, the Tutai Kefu, the head coach won't travel after being involved in some nasty stuff back home where his house was broken in and he was injured with his family. So he recovers well, but he won't travel. So there's a lot of disruption. Now, that for any side is difficult to cope with, but in some ways, it may be easier to cope with all that disruption and lack of preparation for a team like Tonga, because their threat is their individual brilliance. It's their individual physicality, their power, their brilliance. And they can bring that anytime, every time they play. So it's a bit of the unknown in terms of what they might throw at you, but because they've not had that sustained preparation period. But it's a threat. And you mentioned, Foto Lokotui, who the Glasgow Warriors fans will know well. I thought he was standing for Glasgow last year in the battle. He starts at 7, hard tackler, hard ball carrier, will be involved in absolutely everything. We'll know a lot of the centre of the Glasgow Warriors players and played against the Edinburgh players often. I think he's out in France and Agen now, I think. So he's a name we recognise. Takalu at 9 is a solid 9. He's played in the English Premiership for a long time. He's played, battle order international caps. He kicks well, he's robust, he's played, I think he's at Toulon now. And Kurt Marath, the 10, he's probably more of a, I'll say, a kind of Northern Hemisphere 10 than what we'd imagine the kind of all-out attack Tongan, I suppose, mentality is. He's a clever 10, he kicks well, he goal kicks really well, he'll organise. So there's threats across everywhere. And I say another Glasgow Warrior, Walter Fafita, who's not played for Glasgow yet, but having seen him trained, as some specimen, some size of a winger. He's starting in the wing as well. So there's threats all over, but the biggest threat for me from Tonga is their individual brilliance and what they can bring. And regardless of the preparation, they'll bring that. And Scotland have to be disciplined and they have to be, accurate. I think it's gonna be a reasonable day. So we'll see how they cope with the threat of the Tongans, but it's the first game in 4, and it'll be important for Scotland to get off to a winning start. Well, as promised, we're delighted to be joined by one half of the halfback partnership, the good timekeeper of the pair. It looks like Ali Price joins us. Blair's, well, you tell us, Ali. Where's Blair? What's he up to?
for the purposes of this, he's just getting a coffee.
Is there a bun alongside the coffee, perhaps?
Is there a what, sorry?
Is there a bun or a cake alongside this coffee?
Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe.
You skipped that though, right? Yeah, you skipped that.
Yeah, athlete.
Absolutely. In his defence, so he was, I've just no long left the camp and he was out kicking for a while, so he was a wee bit later off the pitch, so we'll let him get his lunch and join us. But I suppose the first place to start, Ali, is back to BT Murrayfield in front of fans. First of 4 games on Saturday. Before we kind of, I suppose, look at Tonga, look at the game specifically, how much buzz is there in the camp? How much excitement is there that we're back to representing your country in front of people at the home of Scottish rugby again?
Yeah, it's going to be brilliant. I'm so excited. It's been an incredibly long time. I think the big thing for me, it's something we'll definitely build in now leading up to the game is the energy that the crowd brings. And, you know, as players, we feed off that massively. And yeah, there's nothing better than hearing the buzz around Murrayfield on a game day and then when the game's being played. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty special, I think, and a massive occasion for myself and a lot of the boys, to be fair.
Yeah, obviously a big occasion for you individually. How did it feel to get the nod in terms of co-captaincy going into the game this weekend?
Yeah, quite surreal. I mean, Gregor rang me and told me that me and Jamie were going to be leading the team, and it's a huge honour for me, and it will be a special day for myself, but my family, and you know, yeah, it's a very proud moment. It's not something I've done a lot in, you know, growing up, playing at school level and all the rest of it. It's not something I'd ever really done. But in terms of, you know, the development of my career and trying to evolve as more of a leader within the group, you know, it's great to get that opportunity. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
I think that's a brilliant thing. The fact that, you know, you've said you've not captained a lot or been, you know, in that situation a lot growing up, because it obviously means you're in the situation now because of what you're doing, how you're playing and what you're inherently representing. You know, it's not as if, you know, it's you're there because you're a captain, you're there because you fit exactly how it wants to play. You're leading by example, you're playing by example, and that means your game won't change, will it? There's not really anything forced change in terms of more responsibility. It's just you're going to be you at the weekend and lead from the front.
Yeah, that's it. I guess with this group especially, I've got a bit more experience than others, and just drawing on that, like you said, Mossy, going out there and still just playing my game and leading as best I can just through the experiences I've had. And that's kind of my goal for the day, just to lead from the front along with Jamie. And, you know, the guys that are earning their first caps, the guys that haven't played at Murrayfield with fans, and you know what I mean? Just be there on the field. Let's get through this game and put in the best performance we can.
You'll still be smiling though, eh? That smile will not disappear with an extra responsibility, will it?
Well, let's hope not anyway.
So here we've got the half-back partnership. All great half-back partnerships are built on relationships and understanding. How strong is it between you pair?
Me and Pricey are connected.
We have what sense?
We have deep connections. Yeah, no, it's been good. I think me and Pricey get on pretty well, unless he secretly hates me behind my back.
Here's your chance, Pricey. Here's your chance.
Have you two played together? Other than training, obviously, have you two played together as a half-back pairing before? We were trying to work it out before. We don't think you've ever played 9-10 for Scotland before, have you?
No.
No. This will be what, a no.
What can this, we, I've never what can we expect before. From this partnership?
Game control.
Yeah.
A bit of everything.
We'll
boss the big lads around. We'll put ourselves in good areas of the field, and we're both very attacking players, but we also have that discipline.
You know, Blair's obviously started playing 10 a lot more recently and more regularly, and we all know he's a brilliant runner, and especially in open field. But I think the way in training, especially the last couple of weeks, he's controlling the game and make sure we play in the right areas. I think it's a good combo.
Thanks, bro.
We work well together.
Appreciate that. Your service has been pretty good.
That's good. That's exactly what I want to hear. But there's that connection, there's that understanding. But it's great to hear the element of control as well. We spoke earlier on, just before you came on, about the threats that Tonga pose. And you know, my kind of assessment was that their threat is their individual brilliance, it's their individual physicality, it's their ability to do the unknown. So the less time they've had together to prepare maybe doesn't hinder them as much as would other international teams, because they've got that individual brilliance in them. So yeah. So the control element, the discipline element that you guys can bring to the squad will be really important as well. Would you agree?
Yeah, no, completely. We know that they're big fellas and they've got good skills. So one-on-one, they're going to be very dangerous. So we can't give them any loose ball to counter-attack off or play attack and rugby off. So hopefully we'll just implement our own game plan onto them and we feel, well, yeah.
Ali, you'll remember Foto Lokotui while you played with him last year. He's starting at 7 for Tonga. So will you have a wee word in his ear? Is he a type of player that you can have a giggle with, or is he a serious nut?
He's very serious, but he's a proper nice guy, to be fair. Foto, very quiet, goes about his work, and hits hard. So if I'm near him, put it this way, I won't be running after him. But no, like what Blair said, I think excellent individuals, ability, skills, strong runners. But I think it's about us focusing on what we do, what we're going to try and put in place for this series. And going about our work as professionally as we can. I think a bit of an unknown quantity in what they'll bring, with, like you said, Mossy, the lack of their preparation perhaps, but that makes them dangerous. So we just got to control what we can control, I think.
Yeah, we talked a little bit before you guys came on around what ultimately would be kind of the goals going into this game. So for you guys, outside of obviously going for the win, what would be a win in terms of game plan stuff? What are we looking to achieve from this first test match?
I think I can say a little thing if you'd like. I just think a well-balanced performance in attack and defence. We've spoken a lot about our defence and wanting to be the best defence in the world, and we're very close to being there. So I think just that, having that balance in our game, being ruthless in attack, being ruthless in defence, and build on work-ons from the Six Nations just gone, and things that we're looking to implement, hopefully bring them in, and have fun. Everyone will be back playing at BT Murrayfield with a crowd. I think Pricey said it just there when I was coming on the call. Some boys playing at Murrayfield for the first time with a crowd. So, yeah, just to enjoy the occasion, back playing at home with fans, can't really beat it.
In terms of the four new caps starting, potential four new caps off the bench as well, how do you feel an extra responsibility as kind of older statesman? Certainly,
I'm not older.
a more experienced statesman, Blair, maybe. Do you, is there wee bits and pieces? Well, you'll observe the players and their mannerisms. You know them as individuals. Do you see the excitement level in them? And is there any bits and pieces that you feel you can help out, or just point in the right direction, or just help us? Maybe something that was said to you before your first cap, or have they just take everything on their side nowadays, these new players?
I think a lot of the boys are excited, and like you said, they just take it in their stride. It's just another game to them. I know I was nervous before my first, and I'm sure the boys will be. When I approach any game, it's just back yourself. You're there for a reason, and for me, it's all about confidence. You know, go out there. Things won't be perfect necessarily, but you know, you've got the ability. You're good enough. You're in the squad for a reason. You've been picked for a reason, and just go out there and show what you can do. And you know, if you play with confidence, you know, and the team are working well as a unit, you know, you're gonna get positive outcomes for that. So for me, that was the big one going into my first game, especially just be myself, play with confidence, you know.
And out with the new guys in camp, is there any special talents? Is there a new world table tennis champion or pool champion, darts, Call of Duty, Xbox? What's the inside info?
No. I can see the team room from here. See, nobody's on the usual suspects on the dartboard. Dave Cherry is always on the dartboard.
Dave Cherry bought his own darts to camp.
Yeah, he brought his own darts. That's stinky.
His own darts and flight. Has he got flights? Has he got the right weight?
The whole shebang.
Does he have a shirt? Does he have his own darts shirt? That would be the.
That's just his terrible fashion.
Next level.
Just his bad fashion. That's his darts shirt. Now, you've got the usual suspects at the hockey. They're always there.
And does anybody play Dave, or is he just honing his doubles himself?
He'll take on anyone. He backs with his own darts in his hand. He backs him.
You've got to be pretty good to bring your own darts. Like, you've got to back that up with a pretty good point.
But he doesn't own a dartboard.
Yeah, it's very weird.
What does he throw his darts at then? What are the internal doors in his house like? They'll be need a bit of work.
No, we slated. Yeah, him and Gilko seem to be lurking up there. And what's going on? Hooker and line out combinations, maybe.
Well, maybe yeah. Could be
never stop.
Tracy, maybe we should get up there, you know.
Yeah. Take them on. Oh, well, it sounds like spirits are high. As I say, it's great to be back. BT Marathon the weekend. Crowd coming in. You guys have got a brilliant responsibility to get the Autumn Nation series up and running. Bring all the experience, Ali, from the summer as well, and Blair, your abilities to play 10 and spark the attack and keep that discipline within the play. So, well, thanks for your time, and we look forward to the impact at the weekend, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Yeah, best luck, guys.
Cheers.
Well, lads. Well, that was fun. There's a halfback partnership the weekend. They obviously know each other well, and will bring a bit of kind of fun and joy and smile on the face and attacking mindset. But it was great to hear them both talk about the element of control and discipline, whether it was an attack and defence. And that's ultimately the responsibility of the halfback, isn't that? They're almost the barometer of where the game should be played and how the game's being played and the control there. So, Ali's probably got his hands full controlling Blair, but they'll work well together, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think, particularly in a game where you've not played a huge amount of rugby together and with a few new faces in there, it's important for those two to definitely bring that control and that organisation like they touched on. But yeah, I think they're going to have to stop bantering and laughing to achieve that. But no, I'm sure they'll go well and do a good job at the weekend. Some pretty sad news coming out of Scottish rugby this week, with the death of ex-Scotland international who was the first Scotland player to amass 50 caps, Sandy Carmichael. Can you remember her as Sandy from your time, Ossie?
Yeah, it's really sad, isn't it? It's a real kind of seen as a... I don't remember him playing in such a watching games, but certainly as an icon of Scottish rugby, and got to meet him on a few occasions. In around BT Murrayfield at some of the international events and ex-international events, and it's just a real icon of Scottish rugby in that time. Say 50 caps in that at that time, I think from in a 10-year spell was phenomenal. When there was no replacements, when playing in the front row, he's renowned as one of the bravest players ever to take the field, and you had to be then, He certainly was that a real iconic player, skillful, hard, just epitomised Scotland and all the greatest qualities. It's just so sad to hear his passing just in the last couple of days. So there'll be not that there's ever extra motivation needed for Scotland when the players want to take the field, but I'm sure Gregor knows him well or knew him well, and will have a special mention within the squad at the weekend, and he deserves that for his services and for what he committed. Thank you all once again for listening. Hope you enjoyed that. We'll be back next week. As always, we'll have a look back at the game against Tonga, and we'll look ahead to the daunting challenge, the exciting challenge of Australia being in town.